Download Adam Sank's last comedy album on Amazon, iTunes, or Google Play.
We're already in the shower together. The risk has been taken. If I don't blow you, the risk will have been for nothing.
Hey guys, so I'm doing this before the new episode drops of Adam Sank Show, because I don't want my terrible audio ruining this great show. So I'm going to just put my little drop, be like, hi everybody, how are you? Gail, major shout outs to you because you put me in my place telling me that I'm a bad son, and you're right, I was. So here's my little drop. So from me to you, to all of us, hope you guys enjoy this brand new episode of The Ass. Bye!
Warning, the program you're about to hear contains highly offensive and indecent material.
Ryan, pull down your pants. JB, you start sucking.
The host, a comedian of questionable talent, speaks incessantly on topics of a sexual and scatological nature.
I will fuck you, but I will not eat you.
I want that fucking dick down my throat while I'm dicking him down.
Okay. I hope my mother's listening.
Your ass became a rosebud?
Yeah, that's because I got dicked down real good.
He asks questions of his celebrity guests that are highly inappropriate and rude.
Which of you has a bigger penis?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a fun, good one.
Going down on the clitoris?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I like
absolutely.
Where you're going with yep. this.
For some reason, but the word strap-on just comes right out of my mouth, Bianca.
Yeah, you said come and strap-on at the same time.
And he cannot stop talking about his buttocks.
I think your butt is telling you, no mas, por favor.
This is the Adam Sank Show.
If it's in my hand, I'm gonna suck it.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now...
The one, the only, Adam Sank!
Bottom.
Yes, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Adam Sank Show. We are not live, but this is a brand new episode. If you're listening at 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, May 16th, in the year of the coronavirus apocalypse, at dnrstudios.com, the only place to hear the bug I love the most of the first hour. Leave us your ratings and reviews on iTunes, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen to this bullshit. Email me, at adam@adamsank.com. Like the Facebook page. Download my two comedy albums. Donate to my AIDS Walk page. I got some amazing donations this week. There's a link at adamsank.com. And I have a very important announcement for all the basic bitches. I know that many of you wait for weeks to listen to new episodes. I don't know why you do, but some of you are like months behind on this podcast. So if you're listening to this on May 30th or after, go to podcastawards.com immediately and nominate the Adam Sank Show in the Feast of Fools / Fun LGBTQ category. I don't know why the category is named that. It infuriates me. It should just be called LGBTQ. But it is the Feast of Fools / Fun LGBTQ category. There's a brief registration process to nominate a show, but it's free. They will not spam you. Last year, we were not nominated, which was devastating. This year, I insist that we be nominated. So again, May 30th or afterwards is when you can nominate. You go to podcastawards.com, nominate us. Thank you. Today's guest is hilarious comedian and ass favorite Irene Bremis. She'll be joining us a little later in the hour. But first, it's everyone's favorite piglet. We have a new sound system rigged up today just so Gail won't bitch at me about how she can't hear Ryan Frostig. Here he is, Ryan Frostig.
Good morning, dear Adam. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
And it seems like only yesterday when I showed up on your stoop in a little basket from the stork.
Yes. By the way, we're still waiting for Anya's drawing of you in my belly as a bearded fetus.
If anyone can create that kind of amazing content, it's Anya.
Yes. Now, I understand you have a special guest with you today that you would like to introduce to the listeners.
I would love to. For the making his ass debut is my boyfriend, Paul, a.k.a. Boy Wolf.
Yay! Welcome, Boy Wolf.
What's up, everybody?
We have heard about you many times. We've heard about you and Ryan performing sex for online Zoom parties.
Oh, wow. Great. That was fun.
Did you do another one this past week?
No, we've kind of... I think
there's one tonight.
Yeah, there's actually a couple this weekend, but honestly, they really are hit or miss experiences. Like, the first one we did was super fun. The second one we did was kind of meh. So, but it's, you know, we're doing the best we can in these... Oh, yeah, we did a... Paul's a fairy, and it was
a radical fairy.
Yeah, Beltane. We did Beltane on Zoom.
What does that mean?
It's a you want to explain? Okay, he wants me to explain. It's like a ceremony, and it's welcoming in the new year and spring and sort of like celebrating life and love and all that kind of
stuff. How do you spell this? And is it belting, like belting a song?
No, it's Beltane. Beltane.
Beltane, I see. And what does the celebration, like what did Paul do to celebrate? What were some of the things he did on video?
Well, it was more, we dressed up, yes. And if it was you wear costumes and there's lots of musical performances and visual, you know, it's definitely the kind of experience where you would want to be on some kind of drug because there's lots of like colors and magic and potions and
ancestors,
fairies. It's very magical.
Well, I feel like we could do a whole show on this, but let's briefly discuss what we recommend to the listeners as far as our viewing pleasure for the past week. I'm going to go first. I watched a terrific documentary about Natalie Wood on HBO. It's called Natalie Wood, What Remains Behind. And what was really great about it was her entire family was in the documentary, including Robert Wagner. Her daughter, one of her daughters, Natasha, basically is the star of the documentary. She's the one who tells the entire story of Natalie's life and death. And she had a fascinating life. And at first you think, okay, this is just going to be like a love letter to Natalie Wood. And it's going to just be like all happy, positive stuff. And they're not even going to talk about her death, but they talk about it, honey.
Wow.
And Natasha asks Robert Wagner, her stepfather, like point blank, like, did you kill mom? Like, it's gripping.
That's crazy.
So that's on HBO. Natalie Wood, What Remains Behind. Definitely watch it. Go, Ryan and Boy Wolf. What would you like people to watch this week?
Well, what we've been watching also on HBO is We're Here, which stars RuPaul's Drag Race's Bob the Drag Queen, Shangela, Eureka O'Hara. And basically, the premise of the show is they go to these small, very conservative Christian towns, and they put people into drag. And it's that, but then it's so much more than that because they all have these stories about being different and being excluded from their families, and it's
like Queer Eye for drag.
Yeah, it's like they through drag. They do all of this self-discovery, and it's really beautiful. There's a lot of shows. I think it's very much a trend right now. Now that drag is already so like in the mainstream, now it's about taking it to the next level and like using drag as some sort of therapy or some sort of like workshop experience to find yourself. It's like educate people.
I love this idea, and it's called We're Here, and it's on what network?
HBO.
I will definitely watch that.
Yeah, and they basically spend a week in these towns. They do a drag show at the end of the week, and it's I cry every time.
Fabulous. All right. Well, we're gonna say goodbye to Boy Wolf only because we're gonna put Ryan on headphones so that there's no echo.
Yes.
But Boy Wolf, we love you. Thank you for joining the ass.
Bye.
And if you'd like to plug Boy Wolf's Instagram so the listeners can see him.
It's Boy Wolf. Is it Boy Wolf _ pro?
Pro, P-R-O.
Yes.
Because she is a pro, honey.
Honey.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Boy Wolf.
Yeah, you keep talking. I have to get
all right. So we're going to start with a story that really rocked New York City's gay world this past week. And probably most of you have already heard about it because it did eventually make national news, but we were hearing about it before you were hearing about it.
Oh, honey, this story.
We may spend the whole hour on this story.
I know.
The story is the Meth Gala. Not the Met Gala, the Meth Gala. Because what happened was a group of gays and a few women, but mostly gay men, young gay men, gathered in a Hell's Kitchen loft apartment and held a circuit party for 12 hours. And this didn't happen last year. This didn't happen 6 months ago. This happened last week in the height of the coronavirus quarantine and pandemic, when you're not even supposed to be within 6 feet of somebody without a mask. These queens were, and there were dozens of them, were dancing shirtless, maskless, sometimes pantsless, doing copious amounts of drugs. There was a professional DJ who was spinning. And you may ask yourself, how did people find out about this? Well, we found out about it because the host of the party, a little-known porn star named Ian Frost, videotaped the party and sent 51 stories to his Instagram page throughout the night. I'm looking for my shade bell. So this started leaking out on Twitter and Insta and various other social media, and the reaction was swift and it was brutal. Ryan Frostig, you say what?
There is so much to say on this. First of all, we're all struggling. Many people are unemployed. Many people are feeling frustrated. At this point, you do whatever you need to do. My only advice, don't put it on the internet. And if you're at a party and you're doing drugs and it's in the middle of a pandemic and you see someone take out a phone, you better check that and you better make sure that that's not going anywhere, because, I mean, it's just crazy and it's disgusting and it's irresponsible. And so, I mean, we watched this unfold. And it was messy because everyone that was there got tagged. Screenshots.
Let's point out that Ian Frost didn't just send these videos to his Insta stories. He tagged all the people in the video. He identified them. It was like a list of, like, here are all the culprits. And they got dragged so hard. Most of them deleted their Instagram accounts. Most of them were a bunch of nobodies, but there were a few well-known people there, including Ryan. You can help me out here with the name.
Well, one of the attendees was Nadra Bell, who I don't know if she really performs anymore as a drag performer, but she was on The Voice. She was the first drag queen contestant on The Voice, and she actually brought Stephanie's Child, the drag girl group that Jan Sport is in. And she brought them onto the show with her. So she's like, I've always thought of her as kind of a pioneer for these singing shows for queer people. And to see her there among, like, a group of, you know, what we would typically see at these kind of parties, right? Like a Hell's Kitchen, like circuit
trash,
you know, whatever. It was kind of, I don't know, it made me feel some type of way.
Well, so she was there, and then the DJ. This DJ Alec Bryan, who is, you know, known among New York City club circles and nightlife circles, not only was he DJing, but he had just posted something like the week before to his Instagram about how everyone should stay home and everyone should wear masks and social distance. And Ian Frost, the porn star, had too. So the hypocrisy was so gross. And after this exploded on the internet and everyone was trashing them, most of them deleted their accounts, but DJ Alec Bryan posted, as many of us are now unemployed. Okay, wait, let me start at the beginning. He wrote, he has been taking all precautions to socially distance, wear a mask, as well as wash my hands throughout the pandemic. As many of us are now unemployed, I had an opportunity to avail myself of some needed money to pay my bills. If I have insulted anyone or made anyone feel uncomfortable by this event, I sincerely apologize, as that was certainly not my intent. So that's a bullshit apology that does not begin to address the actual harm, the potential harm done by this party in terms of the number of people, new people who could be infected because of this party. But what's her name? Nedra?
Nedra Bell. N-E-D-R-A.
She or he recorded a Facebook Live video that was even worse in lieu of an apology. Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
It's terrible.
I feel like everyone is basically just giving non-apology.
It's like, yes, it's like 10 minutes long, and he's like, he's not in drag, and he's like, I want to first say to the healthcare workers, I love you, I respect you, and I would never want to do anything to hurt you or hurt anyone.
It's all bullshit.
Like, listen, I made a choice. Would I make that same choice again? Probably not. But I'm paraphrasing now, but she was like,
yeah.
But, you know, we've all made bad choices, and this, like, dragging on the internet is not healthy, and it's not good for our community. And basically, he's a victim because he's getting dragged on the internet. And I'm watching this Facebook Live, and all of his little fans and sycophants are like, you go, girl. You're right. Fuck those haters. Like, no one even knows how the coronavirus works. Like, just crazy-ass comments. And I was like, excuse me. And I posted a comment. I was like, this is the worst non-apology since Aaron Schock came out of the closet.
Like, oh my God.
You need to fucking own what you did. You need to explain what the thinking was behind it, how you thought this was okay. And you need to make a sincere apology. Otherwise, there's no way we can forgive you.
Yeah. By the way, did you see one of the most disturbing clips to come out of this was the one of the guy literally coughing into his hand and then putting his hand on someone else's body.
Yes. Yeah, it's the cough heard around the world.
It's disturbing. Well, love and light to these people. I mean, you know, choices. As Tatiana once said on RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 2, choices.
Thank you. And again, it's not just about like, oh, they shouldn't have posted it because they would get in trouble. Like, yes, that if you're not a total idiot, don't post a video of yourself doing something that you know is wrong and is going to like enrage a lot of people. But the other thing is, when they post something like that, they're actually normalizing the behavior. And there's going to be a lot of gay people out there and maybe some straight people who go, you know what? They had that party and they're all fine. Of course, we don't know if they're all fine. It's going to be 2 weeks before we know. Also, they could all be asymptomatic carriers. We don't fucking know. But when you normalize that behavior, when you glamorize it, you're basically giving permission to the kind of morons who follow Nerda Bell or whatever the fuck her name is, and like and think that she's a role model, and they're like, you go, girl. It's like, no. We have to shun them. We have to drag them. It's not about, you know, being woke or being like cunty or being fierce. It's just like, this is a public health emergency. And what they did is as irresponsible as Donald Trump getting on the fucking air and saying that we should all inject disinfectant into ourselves. I mean, it's what he did was worse because he's the president. But you know what I'm saying? It's
right.
It's not good. So if you haven't watched the videos, they're available widely on the internet. I've posted a couple things on the Adam Sank Show. Someone also made a Stefan link, a meme.
Yes, that was hilarious.
Stefan from Saturday Night Live. That was so fucking funny. So it's worth going to my page and...
Yeah, they basically have videos now of all of the stories. Like, you can just search the party, and then there will just be one video that shows you everything you need to know about this.
And the fact that it was dubbed the meth, the fact that it was dubbed the meth gala is one of the funniest things ever. And I believe
very clever.
I believe that that's courtesy of Pet Shop Boy on Instagram, who, if you're not following Pet Shop Boy, you absolutely should. His stories are genius.
Yes.
All right, we've been talking for 18 minutes, and we're just now getting to Ryan's favorite portion of the show, also Anya's favorite portion of the show, the RuPaul's Drag Race update. Ryan, take it away.
Shantae, you stay.
Well, this week on RuPaul's Drag Race, the divas had to do one woman shows, which, Adam, we have both done ourselves.
Yes.
There weren't enough resources for them to do anything more than basically just a stand-up set on steroids. It was like, I didn't really think any of them were, except for Jackie's, they all were just kind of question marks for me. Like, it wasn't, like they were trying to do comedy, stand-up, improv, but it didn't feel rooted in any kind of, like, none of them are comedians, except maybe Jackie. This episode was definitely a turning point where we're seeing these characters much more clearly now that there are less queens in the competition. One of the biggest sort of scandals of the episode, I guess, would be each queen was given a 5-minute limit for their act.
Oh yeah,
and they show Sherry Pie in her act, which appears to be very funny. I mean, RuPaul's laughing, the judges are all laughing, the audience is laughing, everyone is engaged, but you see them include at the bottom of the screen, like, the time check, like, sort of how long she's been. And she ended up taking 17 minutes to do her 5-minute show. And it really had Jada, who was following her, shook, and it just was
completely sabotaged Jada. And
yeah,
I have to tell you, Ryan, as a stand-up comedian, I sat there, I felt myself going into such a rage, because what Sherry did is what's known in stand-up as running the light. It's when you're given the red light and you know it's time for you to wrap up, and you just blow past it and you keep going and keep going and keep going. It is so disrespectful to the next performers coming after you. It's disrespectful to the venue that you're at. People who do that, like, get banned from clubs. Like, if you do that more than a couple times, you're basically garbage. Unless you're, like, a famous headliner, and then you can go as long as you want. And Sherry Pie has been doing professional performing long enough that she knows exactly what 5 minutes feels like. And she knows what 3 times the amount of 5 minutes feels like. That was 100% intentional, manipulative, and strategic.
And I want to add on that because, I mean, of course, the editing this season has been so fucking crazy that it's hard to really know what actually happened. But when Jackie, who is responsible for doing the running order, basically asked the girls, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? I don't want to screw anyone over. She just wants to go first, which you never put yourself first. But Sherry is the first person to say, well, I just don't want to go last. She immediately says
she had a plan,
I don't want
honey.
To go last. And her, of all people, I mean, I can understand Heidi in Closet, Gigi Good, Crystal, not wanting to open, not wanting to close. They're not performers in that way. They're not, you know, cabaret performers, stand up. I mean, Sherry is a musical theater. She's got a buffa.
Yes.
So her, of all people, she should be one of the ones to say, yes, I will go first.
Of
yes,
course.
I will go last.
No, and she knew exactly what she
sabotage.
Was doing. And that apology, like when they told her on the runway that she had gone 17 minutes, she was like, oh my God, really? I'm so sorry. Like, it was so disingenuous. And so as a result, I was sure she would be in the bottom too. And when she wasn't, I was kind of furious.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to say is I think Jackie is a little bit shadier than she's been.
I think, makes herself out to be.
Yeah, because, you know, she didn't take responsibility for the running order, which was her, you know, that was her task. She kind of just delegated it to the other queens and said, you figure it out. And so with the whole Jada going last thing, she didn't really give anyone a choice. And I think Jada basically it wasn't so much that she volunteered to go last. It was that she just kind of said, well, no one else is stepping up and you're not really taking authority here. So I feel like did you watch Untucked?
I did watch Untucked.
Yes. Jackie really was deflecting any sort of blame, but I really think she was also,
I think she tried to have it both ways. I think anyone in that position would have put their strongest competition in the worst spot, which she did. She just didn't want to take responsibility for it. She wanted to act like,
exactly,
like it wasn't her. But, you know, I'm okay with that. I actually thought Jackie had one of the stronger one-woman shows. I was ready to send her home until this past episode, yeah. And now I'm kind of like, oh, she does have something. And I was thrilled that Crystal won because she really surprised everyone. And she's really so weird in the best possible way and really talented and has great energy. I don't think she'll win the show, but I think she's going to have a great career.
I agree with you, but the only thing that I'm missing from Crystal's sort of like presence storyline on the show is the Elle DeBarge thing. For me, there is absolutely no payoff.
It's a little tired.
Unless Crystal's in on the joke.
Well, clearly RuPaul and the producers think it's hilarious because they think the broccoli's hilarious, which is why they keep doing it over and over and over again.
Like, I think Crystal's show was funny-ish, but I think it would have been funnier for her to do her one-woman show about
Elle DeBarge,
not knowing who Elle DeBarge is. And, like, I think that's hilarious. I wish that she leaned into that a little bit more because I think that that is being forced down her throat, our throat.
But you know what, Ryan? There's not a lot to tell there. I mean, Elle DeBarge had one hit song. They had Feel the Beat of the Rhythm of the Night, and that was kind of it. And so there's not a whole lot to say about them other than, yes, the lead singer had a mullet, and yes, they had that song. Like, what else do you do with that joke?
I don't know. I just, I've seen a lot of talk that Crystal is the pick for winner of this season, and I honestly think I'm going to endorse Jada and Paul.
This is breaking news. Ryan Frostig chooses a winner for season whatever this is.
I really think, and you know, we were talking when we were texting that night, I think as part of her arc, if you look back at a lot of the past winners, Bob the Drag Queen, Sharon Needles, Raja, a lot of them were in the bottom two for one challenge. And they were great lip syncs, and they obviously redeemed themselves and would go on to win the show. So I think this is Jada's moment, and she killed the lip sync as doing 1999 by Prince. When she whipped off her, no, the first moment when she just walked to the back of the stage and she kept eye contact with the judges, that is some pageant drag. That is drag excellence. She knew exactly what she was going to do, and she served, and that's my winner.
Yeah, I'd be happy if she won. I'd also be happy with Crystal winning.
Yes, Crystal's great.
You know, Gigi, I think, still has a chance. It'll be very interesting. It is a talented group. We're going to have to move on. We don't have time to discuss Secret Celebrity
Drag Race.
I know. It's too much.
All-Stars 5 has been announced.
I will just quickly say that Max Eisner guy appears to have a gigantic penis.
Yes.
When he was wearing those khaki pants, the bulge was overwhelming to me. And so if anyone has any inside information, please email me at adam@adamsank.com.
He's a comedian, right?
I've never heard of him in my life. Apparently, he's known for this American Gladiators show.
Right, that he's a host of. Well, I'm sure someone that you know knows someone that knows someone that knows someone that can get you his dick pic, so.
Please. By the way, the funniest line of the night was RuPaul going, look, it's an American ninja, but hoarier.
That was funny.
So smart. And the roast was brilliant. Okay. Ryan, speaking of RuPaul's Drag Race, we're now going to do a story from 2012.
Oh, my goodness.
Because we like to stay current on the ass. And I never knew about this story, and I'm wondering if you did. And it's this. A guy who, for many years, was one of the stars of the Pit Crew, Sean Morales, was banned from his gym back in 2012 because of extreme stinkiness. Did you know about this story?
I didn't know about the story, but I did know that Sean Morales is known for being very stinky, and I wish that I could smell his pits. I'm sure they smell delicious, but I did not know that he was banned, no.
Well, this was the Los Angeles Gold's Gym, and he announced it himself. Again, this is back from 2012. This is 8 years ago. He posted, "Today I was told by an employee at Gold's Gym that they are going to revoke my membership because 10 members have complained about my BO." He later wrote, "Of course I can smell myself, but obviously it doesn't bother me or my friends." Over 100 commenters started posting worried about his health and hygiene. And he later wrote, "Deodorant, I just don't like wearing it." Now, we have very different opinions about this. Now, listen, if you are into man funk, as Ryan and Boy Wolf and many other people are, I say more power to you. You can stink up your own house as much as you want to. But when you go out into the public arena, specifically at a gym where everyone is sweating and everyone's in close contact, I have been in the gym when there's been one person with extreme body odor. It is really offensive. It's not something I should have to smell. It's like you're basically making a decision for me. You're not just making a decision for you. You're making a decision that I have to smell you for the duration of my workout. It is not okay. And P.S., I don't wear deodorant either. We've talked about this a million fucking times. There are ways to not wear deodorant and still not stink. My own way is rubbing alcohol, which right now is impossible to get because of this fucking coronavirus crisis. So I have resorted to all sorts of creative methods to make my pits not stink, but they still don't stink, even though there's nobody getting within 6 feet of me. So I say, fuck you, Sean Morales. I always thought you were hot, but now I am disgusted by you, and I'm glad you're no longer on the show.
Sean Morales, if you're listening, let me smell your piss. Let me just get a droplet of your underarm sweat so that I can smell forever.
I'm going to vomit. And by the way, I do think he's really sexy. I always thought he was like the sexiest pit crew member. But
yeah, I miss him.
I wonder if that's why he's no longer on the show, because RuPaul was like, you know, enough with the funk, dude.
It might be.
Okay, in a much more pleasant, well, I shouldn't say that. In a disturbing story about a far more pleasant person, a hunky local weatherman in Minneapolis, St. Paul has been fired because of something he shared on Facebook. He's openly gay. His name is Sven Sundgaard. I'm going to spell it for you because you're really going to want to look him up. Sven, S-V-E-N, Sundgaard, S-U-N-D-G-A-A-R-D. He is a weatherman for KARE-11, one of the probably the most well-known openly gay person in the Twin Cities area, 39 years old. He was let go after...
Oh, my goodness.
Are you looking at him? He's one of the hottest men I've ever seen, I think. He was let go, Ryan, after 14 years on the job because he shared someone else's Facebook post. Now, what was the Facebook post? You know about these crazed right-wing armed Trump supporters who are storming state capitals and threatening public officials and not social distancing, not wearing masks. They want their freedom. They want their liberty. Basically, they're pissed off that you know, everything is shut down. And they're saying, like, fuck public health. You know, we need our jobs. We need the economy back, blah, blah, blah. And Trump is, of course, tacitly endorsing this by tweeting things like, liberate Minnesota, liberate Michigan, because he's such a fucking asshole.
Idiot.
And a lot of them are holding Confederate flags. They're holding swastikas. I mean, these are not good people, which, by the way, Trump said they were. He tweeted that, too. So a local rabbi from the Twin Cities, Rabbi Adam Latz, tweeted posted on Facebook about the protesters, and he called them, quote, white nationalist Nazi sympathizer, gun fetishist miscreants. Which is simply accurate. So Sven shared that and then later deleted it. And for that, he was fired. KARE11 wrote, due to continued violations of KARE11's news ethics and other policies, we have made the decision to part ways with Sven Sundgaard. We hope you continue to turn to KARE11 for your news, traffic, weather, and more. Many people on social media. Many people on social media let KARE11 know their feelings, and I encourage you all to do so as well. He was an extremely popular weatherman, and Minnesota, which is generally a blue state, supports exactly what the rabbi wrote and what Sven retweeted, reposted. Now, you should all know that I reached out to Sven Sundgaard immediately once I saw his pictures. I followed him on Twitter. He followed me back. I said, Sven, why don't you come on the ass? And he sent me a very nice private message and said he would love to, but he's currently dealing with a lawsuit that he has filed. And he said there's a lot more to the story that we don't know, that he can't talk about yet, but that once he can talk about it, he will come on the ass.
Oh, honey.
And talk about it.
It's on. Oh, I cannot wait for the scalding hot tea.
I am so ready for Sven Sundgaard to come on my ass. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have another story this week about Ellen DeGeneres being secretly mean. And because this seems to be a weekly segment now, I have asked our own Ryan Frostig to compose and perform a live bumper. Ryan, are you ready for this?
I'm performing it live.
Yes, is that okay?
No, I think you should perform it live. Just give me the writing credit.
I don't even remember how it goes. I think it's
You're a mean one, Ellen DeG. You're a selfish, you're a privileged talk show host. What was the next part?
You have. I thought we had this all worked out. It's like
we did. I dropped the ball. But next,
you have splinters. You have splinters in your pussy, and your heart is made of poo, Ellen DeG. If I had to choose between spending an afternoon with you and getting double penetrated by Kevin Hart and George W. Bush, I'd gladly choose the double DP. Da 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 da
da da da.
Anyway,
there you go. That was fabulous.
Thank you.
We'll do a formal recording.
Yes.
That way we can always play it.
It was a group effort. So This one is so fucking stupid. The headline on Queerty was Ellen's Oscar bodyguard provides more evidence. That was my headline, that she's secretly mean. Anyway, they basically call him a former bodyguard. He's not a former bodyguard. He was her bodyguard for one night. He was assigned to her when she was the host of the Oscars. His name is Tom Majersack, and he says, Ellen is the one person that I've been assigned to, and I've been assigned to quite a few celebrities, that has never taken the time to say hi to me. He said that he thought working with Ellen would be a lot of fun, given the upbeat personality that she displays on her show. I just lost my place. Instead, he claimed she was so cold, it was actually kind of demeaning. Ellen's wife, Portia de Rossi, on the other hand, he says, was lovely. He said he and de Rossi had a very de Rossi was very pleasant, and they carried on a conversation. But when she introduced him to Ellen, he says, Ellen pretty much just gave me a side glance out of her eye and didn't even say hello or thank you for protecting my wife and me. We should also mention that this was like 6 years ago. Now, again, someone is really trying to destroy Ellen DeGeneres. Like, we're now scraping the bottom of the barrel now when we're reaching out to Oscar's bodyguards from 6 years ago who met her one night. And by the way, right before you're about to go on stage and host the most difficult show on earth in front of a billion viewers, like, no, you're not going to be friendly. So in spite of all the other stories, many of which I do give credence to, this to me seems like just petty bullshit. Ryan, you say what?
Well, I think what the reason that these stories... I'm not surprised. Insert pretends to be shocked GIF here. At this point, I'm just not surprised, but what makes it so disappointing is because the persona of Ellen that we are shown is this sort of, like, upbeat, high energy, compassionate, generous person. You know, if you look at what she has done over the years on her show, you would really be surprised to you actually would be surprised to hear that she could be so cold and so cruel. But I think for people like us, we sort of understand how, you know, Hollywood is and the inner workings of the way that people are treated. So for us, I think it doesn't come as much of a shock as it is just, like, really disappointing, because it's Ellen, and, you know, she's been there all along, and we look to her for you know, laughter and to see these kind of stories come out, even if they are from years ago, it's disappointing. But, you know.
Well, once again, Ellen has not responded to any of the recent reports about her bad behind-the-scenes behavior. So, we are still waiting for the queen to speak. And in the meantime, these stories just keep piling up. And by the way, when I posted this to the Adam Sank Show, a number of commenters were like, if she were a man, no one would be saying anything. This is typical sexist bullshit. And, like, I hear you, and that's a valid point. And sure, yes, it's true that there's a totally different standard of behavior for men and women. But... oh, here comes Irene. All right, baby. I'm going to say goodbye to you, Rye, and talk to you soon.
All right.
Love you. Bye. Love you. Bye. Okay.
Well, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Let me introduce you. Our guest today is an ass favorite. She's been on the show multiple times. I've actually lost count. But we love her, and we all need to laugh right now. She's calling us all the way from the luxurious New York City borough of Staten Island. Please give a warm-ass welcome to Irene Bremis.
Oh, Adam, sweet cheeks, how are you?
I'm great. It's so good to hear your voice.
I miss you. It's so good to hear your voice. It really is something. I joke and say that I used to love sci-fi, which I did, until we got stuck in a sci-fi movie. But
right?
This is, how are you holding up?
I'm holding up really well. I have to say I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm healthy. My family's healthy. I've been fortunate enough, even here in the coronavirus capital of the world, not to have lost anyone to this horrible virus. And I'm still employed. So I got nothing to complain about.
Right. You know, I'm feeling like I'm gleaning a lot of positivity, and I feel really blessed as well, if we're going to be honest. Okay. Like, you know, listen, I remember when I first, you know, when first coronavirus started really just saturating our brains, and we realized the gravitational pull of reality of this virus. And I remember seeing homeless people on the street just bursting out crying. I was just bawling inconsolably. I'm like, where are they going to find respite, you know?
Right.
And I thought, even during this, we're so fortunate to have, like, a place where we can shelter ourselves, you know, and just be well taken care of.
Right.
Somewhere that we can go to stay healthy. But I've also been employed with fitness. You know, I train people.
Oh, yeah.
Not that you need me. You don't need my
I do. Irene, I do. I do need you.
Oh,
I have
stop.
Got. I have gained so much fucking weight over the past 3 months.
No, Adam, you must not let that ass go to shit for any virus. Do you understand me? I don't
the
care
ass,
if there's a pandemic going on.
The ass looks good. The ass has gotten even bigger, okay, which is good. But unfortunately, ooh, the belly that hangs over the ass and over my gunt.
Sweetie, your gunt.
So what are you doing? Are you doing online fitness classes? Is that how you're working?
I am. You know, it was a very accidental thing. What happened was that, you know, I was a fitness trainer for many years. While I was doing stand up, I was also training people for years, and I trained a lot of comics, in fact. And so I just people started hitting me up for Zoom sessions. I didn't solicit. I didn't ask for this, but I'm busy 24/7. I'm teaching
so
a lot
great.
Of classes. I'm teaching all ages. I'm teaching comics, non-comics, seniors, young people, kids. It's crazy.
That's fantastic.
It's been really, I feel awesome. I will gift you a session, sweetie. Let's get this going.
Well, here's the problem, honey. I can't do any aerobic activity in my apartment or even on the roof deck because people in the building complain. Like, there's been
Who said anything about aerobic? You're not going to move at all.
Okay.
You just need to, you know, and if you don't even have weights, people are, it's amazing. People are substituting weights with wine bottles, with canned goods. My seniors are using canned goods because they don't have access to weights.
Yeah.
So, and there's no jumping. It's all just, you know, just utilizing head-to-toe muscles, and that in itself will fire up your cardio.
Well, let's do
it,
honey.
That's all you need to do. Let's do it, sweetie.
Irene, describe your life under quarantine. Who, where are you? Who are you with? And what are you wearing?
Okay, what am I wearing? Something that, obviously, my sex life was always I call it red alert. It was always on its deathbed, hanging on a respirator.
Wow.
And now this fucking quarantine definitely pulled the plug on me. Okay, what I'm wearing is I just let go, and that's never a good thing to completely let go. It feels liberating, but I'm hoping that I can snap back to caring a little. A little vanity is good. So what I'm wearing are sweatpants. I'm not wearing a bra. I barely ever wear a bra. I know I'm turning you on right now.
Yes, you are.
Take your hands away from your penis right now, okay?
Got the tissues and the cold cream out.
Tissues, you're ready to go, sweetie. And I'm with my husband. And
yeah, so
it was a lot of fun.
So
yeah.
Why is your sex life dead if you're with him?
Well, you know, I mean, we've been married for like 20 years, so you know, it's a intimacy. It just evolves. Let me put it to you. I don't know if it's evolution or it takes a different form. You know, so you know, we've been with somebody for 20 years or so. You know, it's not that it's completely dead in the water, but you know,
I hear this.
You know, it takes a little more action.
I hear this from all of my gay friends who have boyfriends and husbands. They're like, we're not having any sex under quarantine. And my feeling is like, I get it. Like I was in a 4-year relationship and I was in a 2-year relationship and I get it. Like the infatuation goes away and you don't want to have sex with them all the time. But even in my bad relationships, like once in a while,
once in a while, of course you have to. I mean, it's almost like, you absolutely, you know, I mean, it's not you have to. I want to. I love my husband. He loves me. I hope he loves me. I'm not doing anything to stimulate his penis at the moment, though, I'm saying, because I'm not really wearing anything sexy around the house. I do have a sexy apron, though. I want to throw that out there.
What's the apron look like?
Oh, the apron is so hot. It's like very frilly, very 50s. You know what I mean? And you know that.
And
like,
you wear it with nothing else.
And I haven't done that yet. Simply because I'm not feeling good about myself, but I'm working towards nothing underneath because, you know, that's the ultimate way to do it, you know?
Absolutely. I've worn aprons that way.
Underneath. Oh, my God. But you have the best ass.
You have a great ass, too.
If I had your ass, I would leave the house with nothing but a T-shirt on and some heels.
Well, I have done that.
Under from the waist down would be completely bare bottom, sweetie. That's it. Why bother? Okay. I would flaunt it. I don't care.
I have to ask, how are your breasts holding up under quarantine? Because I know they're your most marked feature.
You crack me up so much, okay? I'm fascinated with your ass that you have.
I really am fascinated with your tits, I have to say.
Well, I'm not.
And also, by the way, Irene, this segment is turning on our lesbian listeners for the first time.
I love your lesbian listeners. I love them so much. My tits are doing okay. I must say, I'm not wearing a bra, but then I started to realize, you know, there's like this, I don't know if it's an old wives' tale or my mother just chirping in my ear and going, you know what, you should sleep with a comfortable bra on because they will start dropping. So I always remember my mom's voice. So I started wearing a little bit of a workout bra when I sleep, and I'm using that during the day now. So they're holding up. They're doing great.
You know what?
You know? They're actually a lot happier than the rest of me.
I believe that old wives' tale, and I feel the same way about my ass. A lot of men sleep naked.
What are you going to do?
Well, a lot of most gay guys I know sleep naked, and I always sleep in boxer briefs because I believe that otherwise my ass will just hit the floor.
Sweetie, that ass isn't, that's defying gravity for the next five pandemics. Okay,
oh,
but
you're too kind.
See, I feel, I mean, honestly, one for the book, sweetie. You know this already. It's your greatest ass set. No, it's not. You have so many. You're so funny. You're gorgeous. There's a lot of stuff.
But
going
here's the
there.
Here's
but
the truth, Irene. When I gain weight,
I think the boxers can't hurt. Yes.
When I gain weight, as I mean, I'm not kidding you. I've gained 8 pounds, and so when that happens,
now, can I ask you something? But
yes.
Why are you gaining weight? Are you eating? What is it that you're doing? Were you much more active before? Obviously.
Okay, so
because I know people that are actually losing weight with.
So before I could go to the gym, right? I could do spin classes. I could do regular cardio. But also, when I'm home, if I get hungry, which is like every hour, I just go to the fridge and eat something. When I'm at work, when I'm in my office, I only eat basically lunch the whole day. All I have is like a big salad. And maybe I'll have like an energy bar at 3 p.m. or I'll have a handful of peanuts. But I'm not having like meal after meal after meal. And when I'm at home, it's like,
right.
It's like, oh, okay, I've had my oatmeal at 7.
Right.
Now it's 10 and I'm starving. So I'm going to have a bowl of cereal. Now it's noon.
Oh,
so I'm going to have like a bowl of leftover pasta from last night. Now it's 3
right.
And I'm hungry again. So I'm going to have peanut butter and jelly. Like it's just never, it never ends. I just graze. And it's, you know, it's soothing, but
right.
When that happens and my belly gets big, the ass does not stick out nearly as much.
Right, sweetie. I got you. Now, here's the thing. The oatmeal is a solid start. Let's just start with the oatmeal, okay? That's a darn good start.
Yes.
Okay? I see the derailment happening. It's going to pizza. It's going to all the comfort foods. It's not pizza. It's going to cereal.
Pasta.
Then it's going to pasta. These are the infamous comfort foods. Of course, we need a lot of comfort right now. These are trying times. And in conjunction with stress, that is the cortisol. It causes belly fat.
Mm-hmm.
It is a real thing,
yeah.
Especially with age. But here's the thing, you know, it's difficult to get out of, you know, wanting to eat because it does give us comfort. So what I've been telling my clients is to try and maybe pick better, healthier choices of like cereal. Like what cereal are you having?
Well, all
you know
I mean? Like, all I eat is grape nuts. And I add a little bit of raisins, and I have it with soy milk. And so that's high fiber, at least. It's not like I'm eating
right.
Frosted Flakes. But
are you having a giant bowl? Maybe you need to watch your portion.
No, it's it's a small bowl, but grape nuts is very dense. Anyway, I don't want to talk about this any longer because we have
okay,
to get
I'm so
to.
Sorry. Okay.
No, I appreciate your advice.
Okay, go ahead.
But we have
yes,
to get
I'm
to
go ahead.
We have to get to Ask Me No Questions.
Which
is everyone's
everyone's
favorite segment. And normally, as you know, we have a pre-recorded bumper, but I'm very low tech doing this from home, so I'm going to sing it for you. Ready?
Okay.
Ask me no questions. Ask me no questions. Yeah. Okay. Have you trimmed your bush since quarantine began?
Oh, sweetie, I haven't trimmed my bush before quarantine began. Next.
That's a lie. I picture you having like a perfectly groomed triangle.
Oh, come on. All right. Listen to me. When and if I feel like it, I will and will not be judged on my fabulous bush. All right.
So is it really wild down there?
It's not really wild because you know what? I'm not a really hairy person despite being Greek, you know? So I'm like, I think I'm fortunate. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that have Chewbacca between their legs right now, but I have almost a very refined, tamed, elegant bush between my legs.
Oh, congratulations.
That's why I like to
Good for
I'm
you.
I'm complimenting my bush.
Yeah,
Thank
well you.
You
should. Now, I know you haven't gone near your husband's penis during quarantine, but do you know if he's...
I have, actually.
Is he trimming? Is he manscaping? Is he grooming down there?
Well, he's so lovely. You know, he doesn't have a lot of hair either. It's like he's naturally just hairless. So he's...
Hot.
He has a nice penis and he's kind of hairless down there, you know, and he's got blonde hair. So the hair that he does have, you can't even see, sweetie. It's amazing.
Irene,
it's
I'd be amazing. Sucking that dick every day. I just got to tell you.
Oh my God. You should come over. He would really appreciate you.
I'm here for it. What is the, what's the wildest place you've ever had sex, either with him or before you were married?
Okay, let me think about this. The wildest place that we ever had sex, either with him or before. Am I going to say car? Are we that lame? We had a lot of sex in crazy places. I can't remember right now because I was drunk most of the time, but we definitely lived it up. I'm not going to lie. I'm thinking car. There might have been a point where we just pulled over and we were on the highway, or not the highway, or maybe in a parking lot. I do remember a parking lot, like pulling over, the urgency, like I had to pee. Now the urgency is I have to pee. Back then, it was a lot more.
You had to get it in.
Now it's like, yeah, I had to get it in. I had to, yeah, exactly. I had to get it in. Now I just have to find a toilet to let it out. But yeah.
Were you the kind of parking lot? Were you the kind of girl who, like, you'd be out at a club and you'd take the guy into the ladies' room or the men's room and, like, do him in the stall?
No, actually, I'm not. To tell you the truth, I'm not really. I wish I did more of that. I'm going to be really honest and say that those were my slut years, and I should have probably utilized them a little more efficiently, but I didn't. I was always in a relationship. So,
well, know, that's why you're still in a relationship.
For like 20 years.
Yeah.
And before that, I was in a relationship for 7 years. So, no, I never had that opportunity.
Listen, you didn't.
But there's always another lifetime.
Yeah.
No, there is.
You didn't. You did not miss out, and that is why you're married.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you enjoy watching porn? And if so, what kind?
No, I don't like porn. It's the weirdest thing. It does nothing for me whatsoever. It just seems like these people are agonizing, and it does nothing for me. You know what I like to do? I like to read.
Oh, erotica. Yes,
oh,
I love erotica.
That does it for me.
Me too.
That is what does it for me.
I'm the same way. Because you know why? Because we're both very verbal, and we're both word people.
Yeah.
And if you tell me a hot story, that's like more exciting to me than seeing it.
Oh, for me too. Absolutely. That's why I went into great details about my tits, sweetie.
And we appreciate it. We really do. What's the best dish that you've cooked since lockdown?
Oh, okay. That's a good question. I love that you asked that. Okay. I think the most impressive thing that I did was my stuffed peppers with this incredibly chili, just multi herbed rice that I made. So it was like, I couldn't believe it. They looked pretty and they tasted delicious. I was very impressed with that one.
Mm, and I believe stuffed peppers,
hollow them out, put them in, green peppers. You hollow them out, you cut the lid off, you semi-cook the rice, put whatever herbs and spices you want in it, then you place it in the pepper and put the lid back on, throw it in the oven, 350, 10 minutes, done.
Delicious. Can you do me a huge favor, Irene? Can you post the recipe to your social media, and then I'll have my listeners check it out?
Absolutely. I even think I have a picture of it. I absolutely will.
Perfect.
I absolutely will.
Can you do any celebrity impressions?
Oh, wow. Okay. I wish I'd known this. I know I can do something. Hold on a second. What can I do?
How about Joan Rivers?
No wild hangers ever. I don't know why that came into
my
head.
Oh, Faye Dunaway, yes.
Joan Crawford, sweetie, you know? Mommy Dearest. Oh, my God, in light of Mother's Day. There you go.
Yes. Oh, and happy Mother's Day to you, even though I know you don't have any kids.
Well, I don't. They're in heaven with God. But you know what? That still matters. Okay? Thank you.
Oh, my God. That's the funniest thing ever said on the show. Holy crap. What is the first joke you ever told on stage?
Okay, the first joke I ever told on stage, I think, was about my brother. About my mother. What was it? Oh, my God, I can't remember what my first joke on stage was. I think it might have been about I know I used to do a joke that I wrote years ago. It was that people used to tell me that I was a cross between Sandra Bernhard and Julia Roberts, and I don't do this joke, of course, anymore. And I would say, what is that? Pretty ugly? I remember that joke.
But I'm pumped. And finally, Irene, in honor of Mother's Day, will you be giving your husband oral pleasure today?
No, you know what? I'm not giving him. He's not a mother. Okay, he should be giving me oral pleasure today, okay?
I agree.
That's what he should be doing. I'm not going to give him oral pleasure on Mother's Day. I'm his mother. And now we're going to go see his mother. Actually, we're going to go to the cemetery to see his mother later, which should be amazing. It's a nice day.
Way to bring down the room, Irene. We were just wrapping up.
Sweetie, I'm sorry. That was really... I went from vaginas to the cemetery to lay flowers.
I mean... The abortion joke was one thing, but the cemetery reference.
Now I'm going in the completely opposite direction. It's crazy.
Irene, I love you so much. How can people follow you? How can people follow you on the internets?
Okay, you can follow me at IreneBremis13, okay? At IreneBremis13 on Twitter, at IreneBremis on Instagram, and follow me. I love you guys. Hang in there. We can do this. This is recalibrating. The new normal will be taking care of our earth, taking care of ourselves, and taking care of each other, I'm hoping.
It's always such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you. Love you too, baby.
Thanks so much.
And make sure you guys go to Irene's social media to learn her stuffed peppers recipe.
That's right. I will be posting. Thank you, my dear.
Bye, honey. Love you too. I want to thank Irene Bremis, Ryan Frostig, and the always wonderful JB for putting this show together. You guys, I really think having this speaker hanging by a string next to the microphone is helping the phone audio. So if it was better this week, please let me know. I know Gail will at adam@adamsank.com. Next Saturday, tune in again. We're going to keep doing these, I promise. Subscribe to the podcast at dnrstudios.com. Don't forget to download Adam Sank's last comedy album and also my first comedy album, Adam Sank Live from the Stonewall Inn. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Adam Sank. You guys, I've gained like several hundred new Twitter followers, over the last few days for some stupid tweet that I wrote about Jesus. So check that out. I now have over 7,000 followers. Have a great week. Stay safe. Keep your spirits up. Keep laughing and doing whatever you can to spread love and joy. All right? Take care, guys. Bye.